Turn with me, please, tonight to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. For the sake of time, let us read from verse 4. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from thee. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That means the Lord will provide. In the mount of the Lord, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. It is very interesting and familiar portion of the Word of God. We have various pictures. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. If you take a mountain and look at it from the north, you get one view. The east, you get another view. The south, you get still another view. And from the west, still another view, depending on the direction from which you look at it. Now, I see four different pictures in this 22nd chapter of Genesis. First of all, I can think of Abraham as being a worshiper. That's very evident in the passage. And then we see a picture of God giving his son. There's another view of this passage. And in this passage, we see Isaac set forth in type of a spiritual child, of the child of faith, in contrast to Ishmael, the child of the flesh. But I want to look at this tonight, that Isaac has a picture of a sinner getting saved. And God's way of salvation is very simply brought before us here in type. Now the first thing I want to think of in regard to Isaac is that he was on a journey. And everyone in this gathering this evening is on a journey. That journey began when he came into this world. In the natural course of events, it will end at death. The only exception to this will be those that are alive on earth when the Lord Jesus comes, and every believer in Christ will be caught up without dying. That's the glorious anticipation of every truly born-again child of God that knows the truth of the Lord's coming. Apart from that, every one of us, in the natural course of events, is on a journey. Some of us, that journey began many years ago. The time will come when the journey will end. Some of you here tonight have had a few years on the journey, but you're traveling. And in the natural order of things, death lies across the pathway. Isaac was in a journey, and death lay at the end of it. And we're not going into the details of the trial of Abraham on this occasion, but we're using an application, because we'd like to impress upon you tonight, whoever you may be, and however old or young you may be, you are on a journey. And no one knows when this journey will end. With many it ends in extreme suffering and weakness and then exhaustion and death. In other cases it comes suddenly, whether by a heart attack or by an accident. For the journey eventually will come to an end. And so we'd remind you tonight again, my friend, to consider the journey that you're on. How long it may last, we don't know. How soon it may end, we cannot tell. But we know, without any question of a doubt, the journey will end. And what lies at the end is a great question. We might impress this upon your soul again tonight, that at the end of the journey, there are two destinies. Either heaven is saved by the grace of God, or hell with all its torment eternally if you die unsaved. So we'd like again to try to get this point before you, to consider tonight where you're bound for. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, the Lord Jesus speaks of two roads and two destinies. The broad road that leads to eternal destruction, and the narrow way that leads to heaven and home. That is upward, the other one is down. We all began on the downward journey, on the broad road, and only those that have been born again are on the narrow way that leads to heaven. They enter through Christ the open door, unto the narrow way that leads to heaven and home. And so in the first point we have in the application here tonight, is a journey of life that you are on. Let us ask kindly, are you prepared for the end of the journey? Is your soul saved? Are you sure of heaven? If tonight the journey were to end, what will your destiny be forever? Heaven with its glories, or hell with its woes? Another thing I see here in connection with Isaac is that he had a burden. A burden was laid upon him, a burden of wood. That wood was going to feed the fire that eventually would consume him. And so I think we can see here a picture of the burden that every unconverted sinner is carrying. There's a burden of sin upon your conscience, a burden of sin that's laid upon you. And this burden is increasing day after day. As you sin constantly from time to time, you're adding to the burden, and eventually that burden will be that which will consume, or I should say, will cause your eternal punishment. It'll feed the fires of hell throughout the ages of a coming eternity if you die with that burden unremoved, a burden of sin. The sad thing is that people don't feel the burden. Men can get accustomed to the burden. Years ago in the First World War, my older brother was drafted into the army in 1918. I remember telling him when they went into training, they put a load of gear up on those lads. He was only about hardly 21 at the time. And that burden was heavy. It weighed them down, but they grew accustomed to it. And as they marched and carried the burden day after day, their system built up to it, and their muscles strengthened, and they could carry the burden without any trouble. And so it is with the burden of sin. It has been increasing from childhood, for every day of your life, from the time it came to the age of responsibility. You've been sinning against God and adding to the burden. But your conscience gets hardened, and you're steeling yourself against it. And the weight grows heavier, but you don't feel it. And there are those of you in the meeting tonight, and you've got enough sins to your account. Enough sins like the wood on the back of Isaac that will sink you down into the depths of an endless hell. The writer of that hymn that I sometimes sing, deeper down than Tyre and Sidon shall the Christ rejecter go. Sin is a dreadful thing. Sin is a burden, and it's a heavy burden. I wish you felt the weight of it tonight. Sin is a debt that you're unable to pay. Sin is a disease for which you have no cure. Sin is an offense against the majesty of heaven. Sin is a transgression of the holy law of God. And that you're guilty of sins. And you've been hearing already that solemn statement from Romans chapter 3, there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of sin, there's death in the world. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, because that all have sinned. And a night unsaved when you have a burden on your conscience. The preaching of the gospel is designed by the Holy Spirit of God to make that burden real. It's real, but you don't feel it. Your conscience has got hardened to it, and it doesn't trouble you. There are sins at one time you committed, and they stirred and burdened your soul, but not anymore. Conscience can be seared as with a hot iron, until you can commit the vilest of sins and no conscience about it. Today, men sin with a high hand and there's no conscience about it. Today, men feel, if it's right in my eyes, then it's all right. Let me tell you, friend, it's God with whom you have to do. And every sin is against God. You may sin against yourself. You may sin against your family. David sinned against his family. He sinned against Israel. And he sinned against his neighbor. But when he faced him before God, he said, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And David in one sin broke no less than 8 of the 10 commandments. In one sin, David is made to feel the weight of it. As the Spirit of God impressed his sin upon him and conscience worked, he laid upon his bed at night. He couldn't sleep, and the flesh went off his body, and the bones that are not seen began to stick out. David, under conviction of sin, he felt the weight of it. And he realized that God was offended. And what God he had to do, for sin was against God. And unsaved one, this burden of sin that is on your soul tonight is against God. What are you going to do about it? Let me say again that sin will be like a millstone weight. That will sink you down deeper and deeper under the judgment of God forever and forever. Now we believe in eternal punishment, eternal torment with all our souls. But we believe there will be degrees of suffering in relation to the extent of sins that men have committed. Degrees of suffering. And as I understand my Bible, the Christ rejecter will be the one that will suffer the greatest. The one that has known Christ as his, the one that has known the gospel and the Christ as the Savior of sinners and has rejected him of sin because they believe not in me. The damning sin of all is the rejection of the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I feel there are those of you in the meeting tonight unsaved. And you're guilty of rejecting Christ as your Savior. And that terrible sin is that which will damn your soul, keep you out of heaven, consign you to the utter darkness forever. I see Isaac made a discovery. As he journeyed on the upward way to Mount Moriah, the Mount of the Lord, where David, we were hearing about the other, was it last night? Where David offered that sacrifice and was accepted by God and where the temple later was built.
In the mount of the Lord, on the way to that mount, Isaac made a discovery. He said to his father, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" He realized there was no substitute. Nothing to shelter him from the sword, from the knife and from the fire. I think that knife would speak of the justice of God against sin. The sword of divine justice exposed against sinners. The fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? He made a discovery. There was no sacrifice. Nothing to shelter him. Nothing between him and the fire. Nothing between him and the knife. I would to God that you unsaved in the gathering this evening would make that discovery. That there's nothing between you and divine justice tonight if you're not saved. Nothing between you and the fires of hell if you're not saved by the grace of God. He made a discovery. I would to God unsaved when you make that discovery tonight. There may be some of you and you feel that all is well and you're slipping on through life down on the downward road. With a religion without Christ, a profession without possession. Trusting in your own works perhaps. Maybe in your religion, whatever it may be, and you're hoping all is well. And every fear is calm. And you've never made the discovery that you're a sinner, as you've been hearing already tonight. Never discover that you need to be born again. Or never enter the glories of heaven. Have we ever made that discovery? If not, I hope you'll make it tonight. A discovery that you're not right with God. My wife and I, years ago, visited a woman, well-bred woman, belonging to a good family in the community. She'd been attending our tent meetings and was interested. We talked to her one afternoon, and she made an acknowledgement something like this. She said, "I've lived a good life, and I've gone to church. I've been active in the affairs of the church. But," she says, "listening to your preaching," she said, "I feel that there's something lacking." I was glad to hear her say that. "There's something," she said, "I feel that I don't possess. With all that I've gone in for, and what I am, I feel still there's something lacking." We had made the remark more than once in those meetings that we are sure of heaven and sure we're saved without a doubt. That stuck into her conscience. She said, "I couldn't say that I'm sure of heaven without a doubt." That bothered her. But she said, "I feel there's something I don't have." I was very happy to hear her say that. I knew what she was lacking. And so we began to tell her what she needed was Christ. The only one that can put sin away. The only one that can get peace with God, our Lord Jesus. The sacrifice that alone can put away sin and meet the claims of God. Isaac discovered there was no sacrifice. Have we ever made the discovery, my friend, tonight that you're lost? That there's no sacrifice between your sins and almighty vengeance? I say again, I hope if you've never discovered it before, you will tonight. That you're a sinner and you need a sacrifice. You need someone to put your sins away. Someone that can save you from the fires of hell. I hope there may be some in our gathering this evening. Already having made that discovery, you're ready to listen to what we have in the remainder of this incident. Now let us go a little farther and look at Isaac. There he is. Abraham has prepared the altar. He's laid the wood upon it. And Isaac is bound and he's laid upon the altar. What a helpless condition Isaac is in. What is he going to do? Bound hand and foot. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read about the cords of sin. And the cords of sin have bound you. You're unable to extricate yourself from them. Sin is a dreadful thing. Sin is filling hell with the souls of unconverted sinners. And sin will take you down to hell if you're not cleansed from its guilt and released from its power. Look at Isaac there bound up on the altar. What is he going to do? Here's an illustration of what I've been hearing already this evening. He that humbled himself, Isaac had reached a place where he was absolutely helpless. He could do nothing, and there was a knife, typical of divine justice, hanging over his head, about to descend upon him. What a condition to be in. Can you imagine the feelings of Isaac? As that knife glittered in the sun above him, soon to plunge into his body and take his life away from him, and then to be burned upon the altar. What a helpless condition he was in. A picture of a sinner when he discovers he's lost. And when he's trying to get saved and exhausted all his efforts and finds he can do nothing more. I hope there's one in the meeting tonight that has reached that point as you're preaching about Isaac, to realize that sin has brought you down into a state where you're absolutely helpless to save yourself. Unable to do a thing to put away your sin when we were yet without strength, wrote the Apostle Paul to the Romans long ago. When you were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Here was Isaac without strength. Bound hand and foot, lying in the wood, soon to be kindled with a fire. What a position, what a condition to be in. Might I kindly tell you, dear unseen ones here tonight, in a sense that's just where you are. Bound by the cords of sin, helpless to put your sins away. Divine justice, that sword unsheathed because of your sin, eventually to fall upon you and usher you into eternity and in the fires of hell forever. What's Isaac going to do? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Isaac probably wondered, but now Abraham's eyes are directed to a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. I want you to know, it wasn't Isaac that saw the ram. It wasn't Isaac that provided the sacrifice. God himself provided it. Abraham took the ram. And here we have a lovely picture of the great truth of substitution. And I hope as we continue, you dear unseen ones tonight, we'll see the simplicity of God's salvation. Look at it again. Picture Isaac there, bound in the altar, hand and foot, and helpless. Here comes the ram caught in a thicket by his horns, a picture of our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, that came into the world, that bared away the sin of the world. Abraham unloosed the cords that bound Isaac and took him off. And Isaac stands to one side. And he watches the procedure as Abraham took the ram and bound him and laid him on the altar. Isaac might say, he has taken my place. Again, Abraham lifts the knife heavenward, but there's no voice from heaven now. And the knife comes down into the body of that ram and the blood flows out. In a few moments, it's over as far as the ram is concerned. Death has claimed its victim. The blood has flowed. The life is taken. Isaac might stand by and he'd say, the ram has taken my place. That ram has died for me. I was laid in that altar. I was to die. But the ram has died for me, and that sets me free. Can you not see a picture here of Calvary? That ram that felt the knife from Abraham's hand, the Lord Jesus on yonder cross of Calvary long ago as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the sword of divine justice found its sheath in the bosom of our Lord Jesus. On him almighty vengeance fell, enough to sink a world in hell. He bore it for a sinful race, and thus became my hiding place. I look at Calvary, and by faith I like and love to look at that scene. As I said before one night, I've never been to the Holy Land. I never expect to look at the hill of Calvary with my natural eyes, but by the eye of faith through the Word of God, again and again, I look to Calvary, and there I behold the Lamb of God, uplifted on yonder cross, numbered of the transgressors to bear the sins of many. And in those dark and lonely hours in Calvary, he suffered not only from the hands of men, the nails that pierced those lovely hands, the pain was excruciating. The thorns that pierced his power, those Palestinian thorns, the agony must have been almost unbearable. The lash that tore his back until it was like a plowed field, he felt it keenly. Every nerve felt the intensity of that agony. But I want to tell you there were deeper sufferings than that. For in those hours of darkness when God made his soul an offering for sin, and God turned his face away, he couldn't look upon sin even when laid in his son. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And there in those hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus suffered the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. That sword of divine justice, the edge of which I should have felt eternal ages in the lake of fire. That sword found its sheath in the very heart of the Son of God. From above he sent fire into my bones, and that prevailed against me. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, he uttered prophetically long before. The Lord Jesus was a lamb that took my place and bore the wrath of God for me. And the death that I deserve to die, the Savior bore it for me. That's why I can stand before you tonight, saved and sure of it, and happy in the knowledge of it, with any doubt in my mind that heaven is my fatherland, heaven is my home. But think of Isaac again. What did he have to do in order to be saved from death? The work was all done by another. Abraham offered the ram. Abraham kindled the fire. Abraham laid him on the altar. Isaac had nothing to do but rest on a work another did. It wasn't his faith that saved him. It wasn't his feelings of security or anything like that. That didn't enter into it. It is a glorious fact that a sacrifice had been offered, a sacrifice that God accepted, and that set Isaac free. Unsaved one, can you not see the simplicity of that tonight? We quote the words of the hymn we opened with, or the second hymn. Nothing either, great or small, nothing sin or no. Christ has done it all long, long ago. It is finished, yes indeed, finished every job. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? God's salvation has been procured by the suffering of death. The death of our Lord Jesus. To him that worketh not, but believeth him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I hope, my friend unsaved, that tonight you'll see the simplicity of God's way of salvation. You're struggling trying to believe. You're trying to reason it out. You're trying to grasp it intellectually. God wants you to cease your doing right now. And by simple faith, rest on the work that Christ has done. And thou shalt be saved. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Will you take that in tonight? Think of this simple illustration we have here, this picture in Genesis chapter 22 of Isaac saved from the death that had decreed for him by the ram dying in his place, and he rested on it. He was saved from death. You can be saved from death and hell tonight if you rest alone in the work of Christ, what he has done, what he said, it is finished. The Lord bless his word for his name's sake, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the twofold message of the gospel. We pray thy blessing and thy word. We pray to remember the dear unseed who have again listened to the message of the gospel. Lord, we pray thee to speak to the hearts of the dear unseed, that they may be made to realize their guilt in the sight of God, and to see the rich provision made at Calvary when the Lord Jesus died for the ungodly. To this end we pray thy blessing and thy word, and we commend ourselves to thy care as we separate. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we see we're so happy to see you all. We appreciate your coming. Remember, the meeting's continuing. The Lord be not come. Tomorrow night again at 8 o'clock, if the Lord will. Number 20. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you now. We'll sing the last two verses of this hymn only, then the meeting will be over. And the prayer meeting downstairs for all who can.